Hey, thanks for tuning in to today's episode of Behind the Funny.
Make sure you're hitting that subscribe button so you can keep up with all the great episodes we have coming out.
And if you enjoy it, please tell a friend about us. Really helps the podcast out.
Yeah, we appreciate it very much.
And other than that, we hope you enjoy today's episode.
Be careful.
And Scott Higgins, both of them coked up out of their minds.
Listen to you. He's down in the basement. Yeah. Oh, I love that.
I think we should call this the Acement.
The Acement, yes.
Yeah, what do you think there, huh?
I like that. The Acement Studios. Oh.
Excuse me, I'm drinking beer. Hold
on a second. We usually drink bourbon on our end when we do the podcast, so
that's all right.
Feel free to enjoy yourself.
Yeah, exactly. You shoot an eight ball if you want. We don't care, as long as it's good stories.
Welcome to the Acement, everybody. It's time to go behind the funny. This is Scott Higgins.
And this is Ace Aceto.
And welcome to another great episode. Well, tonight, I am so excited for tonight.
I am too.
I am really, really excited for tonight because, you know, this guest tonight just was one of those episodes where we just connected on a different level and talked about some great stuff. But before we...
And he was... Well, I'll talk about it.
I'm shot out of a cannon.
I'll wait. We'll talk about our bourbon date first.
But our bourbon date tonight is Jura, single malt scotch whiskey aged 18 years.
I'm really surprised we even have any of this left because we've been drinking this for a while.
We've really been enjoying this. We enjoy it. If you are an avid bourbon or a scotch drinker, this is not your typical of either. It's got hints of both.
Yeah.
So it's very different. It's very good. It was from Ace's bid this year at the charity.
Yes.
But he didn't
at the
overbid.
Foundation. No, I did.
He held
myself back.
He did well this year. But yes, the Izzy Foundation, gala that he went to, he bid again, brought it back to the podcast, and we have been enjoying it. But
yes.
Tonight's
our guest. Yeah. So it's weird because we had him on late last year. And we typically haven't had guests on this close, but there have been so many developments with his project that we wanted to get him back on because we really want to talk about, you know, what's been happening with the project. Well, first, what the project is, what's been happening, how people can help, because we really, really want to get the word out. And I don't know if I said it when we introduced him on the first episode, but when I started in 1989, there were certain people, you know, when people ask me, oh, who are your influences? I always say George Carlin. I always say Bill Cosby for the storytelling. I hate, you know, what happened and how that
of
all
course,
turned
of
out
course,
and what he
course.
Did. But I can't deny that he was a huge influence on my storytelling,
style.
But when it comes to impressions, people always used to say, oh, are you like, you know, do you like Rich Little? And I was like, no. I liked Rich Little, but to me, like Fred Trevelina was a way better impressionist. Yeah. But when it came to when I started doing comedy, this guy was a huge hero of mine because he had a special. He was hilarious. His impressions were spot on, but he made him funny. And then he had a TV show. And
we talked about that on the last episode. And for me, I connected with him on another level because of what we're going to talk about
of
tonight.
The project, right? Yeah. Because, you know, and I was a fan of Robin Williams, but I wasn't as big a fan as you were,
right?
Or clearly as he was. And so we're going to bring him on. I can only imagine because he's always interesting when he comes on. So let's bring on. We're very, very happy to bring back Mr. Roger Kabler to the Behind the Funny episode. Hold on. I got to make that big.
Yes.
What the hell does he have? A puppet or is it a statue of
a bulldog wearing a helmet?
Wearing a helmet.
Hi, boys and girls.
All I can think of is Pee Wee Herman.
Show and tell.
Mad dog. Yeah.
That's so funny.
Do you know what this is actually? This is the mascot for the Mack truck organization.
Is it really?
Yeah.
It's that little Mack truck thing that they have on the front?
The antenna's my creation.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure they didn't have a twig and berries coming out of the top of the helmet.
Hey, man, don't fucking make fun of my twig and berries, okay?
Right, man.
It's a decoration left over from Christmas. You can kiss the dog under the cherry twig. They thank you for that. I there's no way I can live up to your introduction.
Yes,
I
you can.
So
yes, you can.
Look at me. I haven't slept in months.
I can imagine.
Fucking job.
No, I can imagine. So when we had you on late last year, you talked about the project being Robin, movie that you shot, independent film that you shot. So for our audience that may not have heard it, because we get new listeners every month. So for the folks that maybe aren't familiar with it, give us like a brief synopsis of, first of all, how did you come to make the movie? How did you come to, start the project? And then talk a little bit about the movie itself.
Oh, you don't sound it, huh? Well, wow.
You are good.
I used to, before I ever do Robin Williams, I used to do a character in my act called Crack Guy, who's got Popeye on crack. I want to go downtown.
I was just going to say, didn't he say you're not going to bait me into doing Robin Williams? And he immediately goes to Popeye, which I forgot
you used to do Grandpa Munster.
I do Grandpa Munster.
Hey, never mind. Do the voice perfectly. You look exactly like him.
Yeah,
my voice is shot out. I jumped in the lake last week and I got a cold. It's very chilly out. It's too early, and I got a cold.
Yeah, it's too early to be going in the lake in Massachusetts. Yeah. You know,
you talk funny because your testicles are in your throat now.
Yeah,
I coughed up a nad last night. Hey, Nato.
Look,
have a nut. No, but that's my Danny DeVito cut. My point was, what you asked about the movie, I think there was something about
what brought you to bring it on.
Bipolar, basically. I mean,
right,
I was thinking about this today. I have so many parallels in my life with Robin Williams. So, like, the first time I ever saw him on Mork and Mina, I went, oh, my God, that's me. Who is this? He took my act. And I was 17, smoking weed, eating Lucky Charms. I didn't have an act. But if I did, it would be his.
Yeah.
And I loved it. I admired it. I was like, he was lightning fast and just would do anything and say anything. And I just felt that way. And so that's really when it started. But then when I started doing my act, he was just... he was my big inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was in it. And with all the other impressions I was doing, and then, there's this dark area when I went on the Dark Side of the Moon, man, on drugs, alcohol, and crashed Hollywood dreams. And keep your eye on the sparrow. Cuckoo-ca-choo. So I crashed alcohol. I changed my life up and started painting, and then Robin died.
Yeah.
And it drew me back into show business, which was very deleterious because show business almost killed me. You guys know how it is. It's
right.
You got to drink.
Listen, we're in the basement drinking bourbon on a fucking Thursday night. We know how it is.
Yeah.
Pop, that's success, man.
Yeah. My thumb, that Charlie. He took my thumb.
He took my thumb, Charlie. Really hurt so much. But you have a show.
Yeah.
I know. It's like we take stuff for granted.
Right.
The fact that it's in the basement, it's a quality problem.
We love doing it. That's all that matters, is we love doing it. Because you know what? We've gotten to talk to people like you. We've gotten to talk to people like Craig Shoemaker, Bobby Collins, and then a lot of local guys, you know?
Well, we whatever this is, I just to give you a little. So I started doing this tribute to Robin after he passed because I felt utterly taken over by him. There's some empathic occurrence where I experienced his death, which was really scary. Like, it wasn't him that was dying. It was me. I felt what it was like to be Robin Williams and lose it, lose that. And it occurred to me that he lost Robin Williams before we did. And that's the thought that made me utterly go off. And it was almost a psychotic break. I mean, it was really scary. And I didn't know what was going on, but I was very scared, but it led to other things like him grabbing my girlfriend. I felt him experiencing her breasts. I was like, oh, wow. And I'm like, no. And him grabbing my paintbrushes, and you'll see the movie.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I was just saying, no, get out of here. And I, you know, one day I'm walking through the woods and it came out of my mouth. I miss my kids. And I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Wow.
Why is this happening? And finally, you know, I realized he's saying, I want to go back to work. And I said, not with me. I'm not. I'm done. I'm not ever in show business again. Mm-hmm. And then he said, oh, come on. You'll be okay. And so I finally said, okay, who am I to say no to Robin Williams? And I did a show. I wrote and started performing a tribute. And after a few years of that, I started putting together this movie, which is sort of documenting that whole process. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I didn't want to take it to Hollywood because I know what can happen. I got a friend who started out 6 years ago and they haven't even written it yet. I mean, this could take time. So I just I jumped in, raised some money, got a crew, and we had some rough outlines of a script and a story that I definitely needed to tell in all honesty. Mm-hmm. And I edited it, and it took me 2 years to edit it. And now, I mean, I didn't expect anything at all. And all of a sudden we have like the guy who brought Blair Witch to TV is my rep. And we've got like high-end lawyers and insurance. And all of a sudden, you know, Facebook's blowing up because I got a great social media person. And I'm like, what?
Right.
This is not going to happen to me. So the idea of this is causing me sleep loss, a little bit loss of the sanity and weight gain. Because you're just like, God, you know, it's show business and it's happening. And and what if it fails? But what if it doesn't? What if it gets to the thing? So you have to have something, you know, I need stuff to balance my life out.
Yeah.
So boys and girls, this is what I do for a living. I paint pictures of dogs to balance out my life.
Wow. And that's the therapy.
And that's what I love about the film, because, you know, I was lucky enough to watch it, is that you, like you said, you were honest in the film, and you really were, because you showed all of yourself, good, the bad, you know, all the things that you went through. You showed yourself and how painting helped heal you, and, you know, what that did for you, and then what you went through, you know, bringing Robin to the masses and everything like that, and, you know, what it did to you.
Because he was,
you know, because emotionally and physically it was a drain on you.
Right. You were a reluctant, you were reluctant about it. Because it's not like you wanted it.
You were done with performing.
You were compelled.
You were done.
Yeah. Nobody's questioned that either, which is nice. Before we go on, this is my latest. It's a one.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that is beautiful.
Well, she's quite ugly. I mean, but just the one eye.
No, but that likeness is really well done.
That's awesome.
Well, she's, you know, her parents love her.
Yep. Oh, you went on mute.
Oh, I thought that was
a
picture.
Hold on, he went on mute. Hold on. You went on mute.
Oh.
You're on mute, Roger.
There you go.
Anyway, the point
I thought that was a picture of my wife. I'm sorry.
Oh, you asshole. I'm telling her that.
No,
she doesn't time stamping that.
She doesn't listen.
I'm going to.
I think the point that this was an exercise in not acting, just telling a story as myself and using the footage from the show. I had all this footage from the show to fill in what was happening. But at some point I grew a beard and stepped into a closet and started recording what would be the spirit of Robin. So there was me being Robin on stage and thinking that I'm you know, taken or possessed. And then there's the real spirit of Robin who has the beard, and people think that's really Robin sometimes. And it's like, wow. It's not.
I was going to say that there's a couple shots in the movie where it's like a black background and you're kind of looking down and you can't tell it's you anymore.
Yeah.
That was the point. Until we had that, we didn't have the movie. We needed some entity that really would say it's not just that I'm going around like Robin, but there's a spirit, there's a presence that is driving me. And when I saw him in my imagination, when things were going so haywire with his death, that's what I saw, this huge apparition of his face taking up my life. And that's how it felt. So I can't say the film's a comedy, but there's enough clips from the show, you know, that, and I'm adding
there's comic relief in it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing, you know, you can have a serious story with comedic breaks and still be able to tell the story. I'm just thinking back to like the play that I was in, Brian Mulhern's.
That was so a really was heavy, heavy in a play.
I was in a play about losing a family member during COVID and how the family dealt with that and how they coped with it. But my character was the comic relief. There was both myself and then a younger version of my character. And during some really heavy scenes, we had these one-liners that would break the tension.
What kind of character?
It was the brother of the guy who was the main character of the story.
Right.
Him and his brother lost their mother
during COVID.
And it's a true story.
Yeah, it's autobiographical.
A friend of ours wrote the play based on him losing his mother during COVID.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
This is really a homegrown project.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's very cool. Exactly.
Yeah, and it just got accepted. Actually, it just, that didn't get accepted.
His other play got accepted
into a playwright festival. But
where did you perform it?
It was at a small theater, little 200-seat black box theater in Providence, Rhode Island.
Nice.
We're going to be doing it again this year later on. I think in November they're going to be replaying it because it sold out. The whole week, it was only running one weekend, and there were so many people saying, "Oh, I can't make that weekend. We'd love to go." So we're going to do it again later on this year. But
I'll get down and see it. I'm not an hour from there.
Yeah, no, that'd be awesome. I'd love to have you come. But I was just drawing the parallels to the fact that you can tell a heavy story and still have people feel good about it if you have those little breaks in tension through the comic relief.
You do, but there's something else I'm discovering through some people that have either just looked at the trailer or they knew the film, and that is what I've unintentionally done, because I was going to make a very light, joyous movie. There is that in there, too. But it is sort of like a funeral, and I hate to say this, because nobody's going to buy it if I do.
Right.
But this was such a devastating loss on top of a joyous life and career. Mm-hmm. We didn't have a way to really grieve. People are still feeling that loss and like, how could he be gone? And this movie, what that does is tie all that up and say, what if he had
one last chance
to finish his life beautifully and say what he wanted to say before he left. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what I wanted to do with this. But throughout the movie, you get a chance to cry. You get a chance to let it down, let it out. And I've sat next to people in the movie cinemas that were really affected by this. I wasn't intending to make such a haunting, mournful kind of a movie, but that's what was going on within me. Mm-hmm. And I love like movies like Midnight Cowboy that.
Oh, fantastic.
It's just so powerful because of that underlying sadness, darkness.
Yeah.
They stay with you more than, you know, Captain Marvel or Jim Carrey.
Yes. Yes.
They're fun, and then you go home and you go like, "What did I just see?" Right. In this film that I've done, people are talking about it for a while after they see it, and
my interpretation of the film. I watched it twice, like I said.
Yeah,
and you know, you kind of set up, you know, your who you are in the beginning, and then how, you know, Robin and you connect. and there's, you know, it gets really heavy. It gets really, really heavy. I didn't feel the funeral aspect of it, like you just said.
Was it more of a memorial?
But at the
like celebration, no, not of, life?
Celebration not even, of life, maybe. Not even,
yeah, more of that. But you felt this yearning from Robin of just, I got to get this out. I got this need to get it out. And he found this vessel that was the perfect vessel to get it out. Mm. And he connected with this vessel. And then the wrap up at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to say too much because people need to see it. Because
I'm not seen the whole movie,
and
yet.
I'm not going to do it justice.
Yeah.
Even if people had seen it, I wouldn't do it justice. But the wrap up at the end was so just well put together. The way that you do it with what being on stage and everything mm-hmm. was just really, really done. And thank it you. Just I had such a huge lump in my throat, and I'm a person that doesn't like to show a lot of emotion. So I was sitting home by myself in my living room, you know, tears coming down my face, yeah. watching the end of that, thinking that was just so just wrapped up really well done at
well,
the end of it.
And I haven't seen it the whole movie, really, but really I have well read, done. You know, recently, well, a week ago, you got on Rotten Tomatoes, and I know there's eight yeah. reviews. As of today, there's eight reviews. Yeah. Every one of them talks about how it hits them on such an emotional level.
It does.
Level.
Yeah, it does. Weird.
And it's such a little film, too. It was never going to be a Hollywood film with right. great cinematography or even great acting. It was, I hired friends to play parts because I,
right.
the way they talked and the way we could connect.
Yeah.
yeah.
You know, and I hate to, that's, it is a spoiler alert because people are like, well, how'd you get your psychiatrist to let the camera in? I'm like, well, that's actually, you know, that's my AA sponsor.
Ew, really?
Oh, yeah, wow. But that's the way he is with me.
Right.
Would you lose my number? You know, he's that guy.
Right.
And we, that's how he talks. And I said, that's what I needed. And the girl in the movie was actually my girlfriend at the time.
Yeah.
And I wanted somebody, it was a smaller role. And I wanted somebody who would be the emotional anchor, the center of, that would center the film and ground it.
Well, because if you surround yeah. yourself by people you're comfortable with, it's going to yeah. bring out a better performance out of you as well, because you feel so comfortable with them. You're not afraid to take risks on camera. You're not afraid to take yeah. chances.
And again, without giving away too much, there are moments where you're kind of experiencing a little bit of anguish in this,
yeah.
when you're asking, what do you want? And you're really expressing that. And you could feel that when you're watching
yeah.
this. When you watch it and yeah. you see that scene where he's really going at it. I mean, I was like sitting up and leaning
like
forward,
like, leaning in.
I'm like, oh my God, you know, what's the answer to this going to be for him? You know, it's a really powerful moment
yeah.
because, you know, he's looking for this answer and you're like, oh my God, you know, what's the answer going to be
right.
in this well, moment?
Yeah, it's a really good question because that was real. And I was really,
I know you could feel that.
Like, what are you doing here? Why don't you yes. leave me alone?
Yes.
And you know, at some point in my life, I recognize that I'm spending all this time doing Robin in a very silly way on stage, doing dick jokes and pee-pee caca. And it's like, and then I'm just exhausted. You know, at one point, you know, I used to take Robin for a walk in the woods and say, you know, it's just, we'd have dialogues in my head, you know, and yeah. it was very real to me. And I'd say, do you have any idea how exhausting it is to do this act? And he would say, do you have any idea how difficult it is to come back to life in your schleppy body?
That's a great line.
But it popped into my head. I'm like, that's what he would say, you know,
right.
just schleppy
yeah.
Jewish ass.
Of all the people
the
I could come back as, I'm coming back in your body.
Yeah. Oh, right. No. And it was very funny.
Yeah.
But so on the other hand, there was another day. I wish I could do his voice, but I can't hardly do anything. But we would rehearse in the woods, and that's why so much of the movie takes place around the lake.
In the woods, yeah.
It was one day, it was time to rehearse for a show, and I said, Robin, do you want to rehearse? And I usually conjure him like, hey, you know, because I knew he liked the woods. And he said, yeah, I'll take it from here. And I'm like, what do you mean? You'll take it from here. I said, go on. Okay, bye. Like, okay, so now we're talking about disassociation.
Right.
All of a sudden.
Yeah, go away. I just need your body for a little while.
Exactly. And I have never felt more Robin. Like I was just observing him complete. I mean, I never felt more completely Robin. My voice, my face, the way my body was moving, the way my mind was working. Mm-hmm. I was just following. And that was, if I could have expressed that in the movie, I think I did at one point saying I was watching him from somewhere else.
Yes, yeah. You did say that. You said you felt like you were outside your body watching him perform.
Right. And so I let that happen before the show every night. I would get into character and allow him to manifest. The body would start to move in a way that he, you know, would move and free up and do the things that Robin does. And then he would say, okay, you sit here. I'll be back in an hour. Have fun. And that meant I couldn't interfere with the show. I couldn't even go on stage and edit. He was just free to do whatever he wanted to do for that hour. And then I would have my turn the next hour or the next 45 minutes. I would do my own show, which is called Over Actors Anonymous.
Yep.
So it's a smart show. Oh, boy, I ramble. I get it.
No, it's not rambling.
No, it's not rambling.
It's not, you know, it's very powerful stuff. And, you know, I encourage people to, if they haven't, you know, to go and check this out, because, you know, especially if they're Robin Williams fans, because it really will touch you on a deep level. It really, really does.
I hope they do get, I mean, I know a lady's watched it 15 times and I'm like, why? There's a mystery in this. It's like, is this a psychotic, am I delusional? Because I asked this myself, or is this a genuine spiritual event?
Well, and I like how, and again, I want to ask you so many questions, but I don't want to ruin it for people at the same time and say too much.
But
you had a few people make comments like, you know, oh, the guy's just crazy. You know, you actually included that in the movie.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Where you allow that question back and forth
to be asked out loud.
To be asked.
Yeah.
You know,
they say is it a fake? Are you a fraud?
Yes.
Are you a carnival man?
You allowed that.
Yeah. But no, I asked that of myself.
Right.
What is this? Why am I saying okay to this? Because some people could say you're just cashing in on Robin's death. But keep in mind, this was not my idea.
Right.
But we have to show all sides. This girl says, is it a hoax? And then you cut back to me banging my head against the ground in this anguish. And you realize it's really not.
No, yeah, exactly.
I'd love it to be a hoax, but it's much deeper than a hoax.
And the other thing is, you know, for anyone who would think that you were cashing in on Robin's death, Robin died how many years ago?
10. It'll be 10 this year.
Like, if you were cashing in on it, it'd be a year or two after. You know what I mean? Like, you're doing this 10 years after he died.
No, I was doing the show that same year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, the show itself.
Yeah. I had said no for a long time. And then Robin forced me to speak. I want to go back to work. Yeah, help me. And I was like, okay.
Bill Kirkenbauer is in the film.
That's right.
Is he? Yeah.
And, you know,
because he's your agent, right?
Yeah, he's my real agent, so he plays my agent in the show.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, and he talked about reaching out to him saying, hey, you know, now's the time to do a tribute. And it's a real funny scene.
Yeah.
Because Roger's like, no.
Yeah.
And he's like, you really? No.
Yeah.
But really, but you know, now's that? No. Hilarious scene.
He tried me three times to do this because he knew there was. So there was, you know, it was a very and I wasn't having anybody. I wasn't going to be in show business ever again.
Right.
Robin really did convince me.
Was Bill your agent before all of this?
Yeah, he had a show called Legends of Comedy.
Yes.
And he would get like a Bill Cosby and Roseanne and Lucy or George Carlin. And he would have me and there'd be four or five of us doing a show. I'd do 20 minutes.
Uh-huh.
But that sort of wound down and then it was just me.
Yep.
You know, I'm what's left of the Legends of Comedy. I'm the last holdout. So I'm keeping it alive. I still do shows as Robin.
Yep. A big shout out to Bill because it was his wedding anniversary today.
Oh, it was 37 years.
Yeah, happy anniversary to Bill and his wife.
Yeah.
Yeah. And where is he in Thailand?
I'm not allowed to say where he is.
Oh, all right. Then I won't say
Witness protection.
He's somewhere.
witness protection.
He's somewhere elsewhere, but
he's in nitwit. He's in nit witness protection.
Nitwit. No, I don't want to.
He did 12 Tonight shows, and he had his own sitcom, and he did four Mork and Mindy's. Yeah.
We've reached out to him. We've reached out to him to be on the podcast, and I get the sense that
he's answered back a couple times.
He's been really nice to me, but I see other posts where he's like, "No, I don't want to be on your shitty fucking podcast. Stop asking me." And I'm like, I don't know if
that's his thing. His Howard Stern thing. He just tried to be as caustic as possible.
Yeah. But like, whenever I've reached. But whenever I've reached out to him, he's been nothing but gracious. So I don't take it personal. But I get it. He's probably been asked to be on a thousand times podcasts. Yeah. So
can I tell you a great story about me and Bill? This is
because
we really love each other, but we have this real dogfight. You know, we're the fighting. Yeah. So one day, I didn't like the pictures he was using for a promo. I'm like, look at those pictures. Look at my fucking hair. I look like Phyllis Diller, dude. What are you thinking? He goes, why are you selling that fucking thing? I'm like, I don't want to fight with you right now. Why don't you go to your computer and look at it? He goes, because I'm on the toilet. And I said, oh, my God, me too. I'm on the toilet, too. We're having a power shit.
We're fighting and shitting at the same time.
I didn't know we each were on the toilet. I had my computer like this or my phone.
That's hilarious.
We had the biggest laugh about it. That's how we are.
For our audience who may not know who Bill Kirkenbauer is, he was on what, Family Ties first, and then got a spinoff show, just the 10 of us. Was it Family Ties? No, not Family Ties.
No, Growing Pains.
Growing Pains. He played the coach on Growing Pains, and then he got a spinoff show, just the 10 of us.
Just the 10 of us.
And he is a brilliant comic. He was on some of the earliest comedy specials that you remember from the 80s.
And all those type of shows.
Really, really funny guy.
And, actually, Robin, I don't want to say stole, but referenced heavily from Bill.
Well, it's funny when you said something about someone saying you stole something. I'm like, well, didn't Robin steal his act?
Well, no.
Right? He didn't know it.
He didn't know it.
His brain just... You know, it just popped out.
Well, it popped out, and he didn't realize he sampled.
He sampled like a lot of rappers do.
Yeah, sampling. That's what it is.
And I'll give you a check later.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Which is why nobody's coming after my ass for this movie.
Because he already paid for it.
Well, paid forward. Yeah.
You know, it's funny that this popped up because Mark Maron on his podcast, when he was lucky enough to speak to Robin Williams, asked him about that.
Mm-hmm.
And Robin Williams was very candid about it. And he said, you know, he never intentionally
lifted stuff.
He goes, a lot of times I'm on stage and everything I do is very stream of consciousness and I'm very in the moment and
shit comes out.
Stuff's coming out and I may repeat something I heard, because a lot of times I'm listening to other comics on stage and I hear something and I'm like, you know what would be funny is if they said this or they did that or they did this with it. If I was saying that, I would do this and I would do that. And all of a sudden I'm on stage and I'm thinking that comes out with what I'm doing. And he goes, next thing I know, I have a guy coming up to me saying, well,
that
you
was
know,
my joke.
I kind of talk about this too. And I'm like, well, I'm sorry. You know, and he goes, I never denied it. I never intentionally did it. It's one of those things. And we talk about that all the time. Parallel thinking and different things like that. You know, there are guys that maliciously steal material and I don't put him in that category and I never will. I think it is exactly the way he explained it. You know, he's just going so fast and so quick and his brain absorbs so much that something might come out and
he might have heard it before from someone else. Right.
Oops.
Yeah.
The thing that I've understood about doing this show is that, you know, more importantly, almost than anything else, is trying to key into the way he thinks, the way he is. And that's, you know, to me, that's any good impression. How is he? Mm-hmm. Not just what does he sound like? What is he like?
Mm-hmm.
And with every impression, I consider myself a method comedian because how is he? And how he is what you guys are saying. It's like, if you put editing in there, you lose the flow, you lose the riff. So he did, and the way I
and the energy
sit
and
down, I will do this,
right?
And whatever happens is what is the show. Yes. And so one night, there was a lady in Florida, and she was drinking, and she was drunk, and she had a big tattooed husband next to her, and she goes, she said to me on stage, she says, "Why don't you come in and have a drink?" And I just blurted out, because I'm sober, I said, "Well, I don't drink anymore, but I bet I could eat you under the table." Oh. And her husband gets up and blocks out the light, and I'm like, "No, that's not what I meant." And it was true; it wasn't what I meant. But it was the kind of happy accident that can occur when your mind is and your
just stream of consciousness. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, and we've talked about it before. Jim Carrey has said it, where, you know, yes, you might see me do some jokes that are like hilarious. What you don't realize is I threw out 10 jokes. Three of them were hilarious, but I had to throw out 10 to get to those three hilarious ones.
Right.
The other 7 sucked, or they may have offended someone, or, right, you know, whatever. But you have to throw that stuff out so that you can mine for the hilarious stuff.
If you're brave enough to leave yourself open.
Yes.
What's going on stage and in the audience, and yep, what's going on with you. And then the audience can allow for pauses and silence.
Yes.
One of the best moments I've ever had when I was totally lost and forgetting what I was doing and realizing the audience is staring at me. And I just, I just looked at them in this moment of honesty, said, "Well, this is my favorite part, when you're all looking at me going, what the fuck is this?" And you realize they're laughing, right, at the truth, because the truth is exactly what's going
what
on.
What was funny. Yeah. Exactly.
That's funnier than anything I fucking did. Because
but it's,
I was keyed into them. They appreciate it.
You're in that moment, right? You're living in that moment right then.
But, you know, that's why I've always said, that's why I don't think it's fair that, and we've talked about this before, that people will poo-poo comic actors and not realize comic actors sometimes are the best actors, because what do we do when we get on stage? We're constantly making choices and taking risks, and that's what great acting is.
Well, and
so that's why I will say people like Robin Williams, Jim Carrey, can be such good dramatic actors.
And I've said it before.
Because it's easier for them to be dramatic than a dramatic actor to be funny.
Well, and Robin said it on Inside the Actor's Studio that he believes, or he believed at the time,
yeah,
that comedians make great dramatic actors because they're fearless.
Right.
Because when
you
they're on
chances.
Stage being comedians, you have to do whatever it takes to make that audience laugh, and you are fearless. And you take that to acting, where you're willing to take risk, take chances,
right,
where a lot of actors won't take those same chances.
Yeah.
He goes, and I'll never forget the way he phrased this. He goes, "You can successfully pretend to be serious. You cannot successfully pretend to be funny."
To be funny. You're either funny
you either
or you're
are
not.
You are or you are not.
Yeah.
You know what? That reminds me of some behind the scenes stuff from One Hour Photo. Do you guys know One Hour Photo?
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. That to me is such a brilliant movie, because it is so polar opposite of
that, and
who
that was,
he is.
Wasn't that one of the first serious roles he ever did?
Well, actually, the was one he did with Al Pacino in Alaska was
Insomnia.
Yeah, oh, Insomnia. That
actually
was
Dead Poets
one.
was that before?
I wrote a little ditty about that. You ready?
Yeah.
It's sort of a Gilbert and Sullivan. I wrote it when I was on drugs, and I can't do the voice, but here it is. "My name is Robin Williams. Call me Mr. Happy. I squandered all my comic genius. How did I get so sappy? In my next film, I get the girl. I strangle her and club her. No more nice guy. No more Popeye. No more fucking flubber."
That's awesome.
That's, you know, that's due to Insomnia.
Yeah,
right. The point of 1 Hour Photo is that
Sai the photo guy.
He was, what's his name, the photo guy?
Sai the photo guy.
What he did between takes was he would crack the camera guy. He would crack up the other actors. And when they rolled camera, he'd suck it all in, but he'd have this glow. He'd be high. And he'd invest the character with that strangeness.
Yeah.
You know, he would be Psy, but he'd pull it all inside. And he was, it was that energy that he got from being high, from making people laugh. I really understood that.
Yeah.
That's what made him a great dramatic actor, because he was full. He knew how to fill himself up with something.
Right.
The director.
Stanford Meisner.
The director talked about that on the DVD extras.
Yes.
That between the takes, he would let Robin just riff.
Go off.
For the crew and just go off as long as it didn't disrupt the shoot.
Right.
Because Robin kind of needed that to really pull himself into the character.
He needed to get that out of his system so he could be serious.
He would build himself up. And then when they would say, you know, action, he would nail those takes and pull off the creepiest. I mean, if you watch 1 hour photo for our listeners, if you have never seen Robin Williams in 1 hour photo, that is one of the creepiest roles he ever played.
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
No. And there was another one he did with Bob Hoskins. He played a very small part in it. I'm trying to remember the movie. Where he played an Irish terrorist that was building bombs.
I know what you're talking about. A little strange man.
Yeah, and he was this strange, weird man. And he had two scenes in the movie where he met Bob Hoskins in a coffee shop or a pub. And he was building bombs for it. And at the end of the movie, he had the bomb on him and he ignited the bomb in the coffee shop. And he was so creepy and weird in that, too.
I got to see that now. I'm going to look at it tonight. Yeah, I got to find out the name.
I can't remember I remember Bob Hoskins was the main character in it. And it was another just a really, he wasn't one of the main characters in the movie. Christian Bale was a young kid in the movie at the time, actually. But it was a really, really strange one. So, yeah.
I'm trying to look it up.
Let me know the name and I really want to see it.
The Secret
My favorite
Agent.
Robin Williams movie, by the way, is The Fisher King.
Oh, great movie.
It's not about a hemorrhoid either.
Oh,
it's
my God.
It's good. So much better than that.
It was,
Him and Jeff Bridges together were brilliant.
Oh, awesome forget about it.
The movie
I love this guy, Jack!
The Men with Men. You got it right. The Secret Agent is where he played the
1996. Yes. Yep.
Yeah,
that's it. Write that down. Yeah,
that was such a weird movie, and he played such a weird character in it. But it was so
Bob Hoskins, Patricia Arquette, Gerard Depardieu, Jim Broadbent, Christian Bale was in it, Eddie Izzard, Peter Vaughn had a small part in that. You know who that is?
Peter Vaughn.
Hey, you guys.
He was the Aemon, Meister Aemon from Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, no.
I started going on IMDb and going down a rabbit hole.
Bring me in a little bit. So
all right.
Me
suck me in. Bring me in.
I really love, look at these weird new teeth I got.
Nice.
I really love this this thing he did on the go. It was the some award show where Jack Nicholson had to give a speech and he was too hammered. So he had Robin come up and do it.
Well, actually, and I've watched that clip probably 100 times, Nicholson and the guy that was in There Will Be Blood, Daniel Day-Lewis, both tied and both won.
Oh.
And Nicholson invited Robin Williams
right,
were nominated.
And he didn't win.
Yep.
And the two of them won, but Robin didn't.
Didn't.
So Nicholson invited Robin Williams up and said, Robin, can you give the funniest acceptance speech ever? And he goes, yeah, this is fucking awesome.
I didn't get
anything. This is a very Buddhist moment for me. and he gave the funniest speech ever. And then they give him the list of nominees as a side award. And he just shits all over. And it's when Nicholson first asks him, I just saw this yesterday. It's so funny you brought that up. He goes, Robin, can you give the best speech ever? He goes, what Jack's saying here is he's so happy he could shit a log. And everyone in the audience falls.
Yeah, I
apart.
Think I've seen that clip.
Did you ever see when he gave one of the speeches at Al Pacino's Lifetime Achievement Award for the AFI Awards?
I've seen him do all of these. I don't remember.
Oh, my God. When he does his and De Niro's, just brilliant.
I just want to back up for a minute.
Yeah.
I think my favorite part about that was Nicholson saying, all I could think about was spanking, what's her name?
Oh,
and Robin goes, let's do that for the deaf now.
Yes, yes, yeah. Because Nicholson goes, I'm glad Robin came up here because all I could think about was spanking Jillian Hall. Yeah. Robin steps up and goes, let's do that for the deaf now. And he's like, ooh. And he's, oh, he just one after, and then he go. They were talking about Selma Hayek being in her dress.
Yeah, that,
that's all I could think about.
Yeah. But the best part, really, the most clever part, besides the doing it for the deaf, was when they're conferring and he goes, Jack's pulling out a nine iron.
Yes.
Which is
yes.
a great fucking yes. reference.
Yes. Because they're talking about giving him the piece of paper.
But do you yeah. remember when Jack like took out a golf club and started bashing some guy's windshield?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That's yeah.
a wonderful reference. You know, and anyway, just that kind of brave, being that brave in front of that crowd. But yes. he got high from that. As a guy who was very depressed a lot of the time, I think he needed to cut up on a film set for his own confidence, to build himself up. He knew what his secret weapon was. And yeah. I think in the loss of that, because these awards meant a great deal to him. And I'll tell you the truth, getting back to my story here. I know that part of what I was trying to do with this movie was win Robin an Oscar.
Really? And
in a strange way, allowing him to do a performance that was
Oscar worthy.
It didn't work that way. But I was saying, let me do this for Robin. Let me try to win him an Oscar.
Yeah.
For best actor, because he got a supporting.
Yeah.
But for best actor. And I'm like, that would be fucking crazy. But they, Heath Ledger got, posthumous. But this is another actor acting like Robin. But if people really believe I'm channeling him, they might give him an Oscar.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Which is fucked up to think of it. But that is the kind of thinking I had when I was making this movie. And right. when I said, Robin, I don't know if we should make this movie. We could get sued. What about your wife? He was like, I'll take care of her. Don't you be afraid. And wow. I was like, okay. He must have whispered in her ear, let him do it. It's okay. And I was just like, I trust that this is all working out because he orchestrated the whole fucking thing.
Wow. Have you gotten any feedback from his family? Has anyone seen it in his family?
I don't know. I will tell you guys that when I first set out to make the movie, I did write to his oldest son, Zach, and mm-hmm. I wrote to Susan, his widow. Mm-hmm. I didn't hear from Zach, but I heard back from Susan through a friend that she was working on her own film called Robin's Wish at the time. Mm-hmm. She was way too busy to deal with any of my shit.
Yeah, yeah.
My little poquito cinema.
Uno poquito.
And she just was like, I don't want to hear about it. So that kind of gave me permission to go ahead because it was a non-issue.
Right.
And
right.
legally,
she was working on her own thing.
Yeah, yeah. And I'll tell you, I mean, morally, I would love to sit down with them and be with them as part of
his daughter.
But I leave them alone. I don't need to contact them.
No, right, I know. Right, I was right. just curious to know if any of them, because I know his daughter has been very, like she's been on the Today Show and stuff, like talking about her dad and Zelda. Stuff like that. Yeah, Zelda. So I just didn't know if anyone had seen it.
Well, when Jamie Costa did his little thing, which a lot of people love, millions of people went crazy. He did that Robin thing. I don't know if you're aware of it.
No.
Younger guy who did this 5-minute demo, and everybody was like, good, we got to cast this guy as Robin Williams.
Oh, yeah. He did the thing in the trailer with Mindy. Yes, I saw that. So
people were sending Zelda that thing and saying, this is, and she was like, please don't send me this. Jamie's wicked talented. But it's kind of weird that you're sending me this. So yeah. I want people to leave them alone and just let them.
Yeah, yeah.
If my movie hurts them in some way, I'll fly out there and say, what is it that you right. want to do? If we need to shut it down, we could talk about it. But I'd like to see if you really understand what it's about.
That it's, it really is. Are. It right. really is a love letter.
They have no recourse. I'm not character assassinating right. him or anything.
But right. it really is a love letter to Robin.
Right. Yeah.
From your perspective. In the end,
that's what it is.
It really is a genuine love for him.
It is, but there's also a scene that I cut, which I'll explain that at some point in real life, Robin forgot whose dick it was, and it was mine, and he grabbed it and was playing with it. I'm like, hey, what did I tell you? And we had that scene, but it didn't really work. But you'll see
Mr. Happy.
Yeah, it's not your happy. It's my happy. It's hands off. So it's like two guys fighting over a body. But the scene didn't quite work. But
Kirk and Bauer's like, just can you get off the toilet for once? I don't need to see your dick.
Oh, that's right, dear. Right. You've got that's right, dear. You've got to put that away. That's right. You can't. You'll go blind, dear.
Yeah.
You'll go blind.
Yeah. Hey, I'll take the hair. I don't mind. It's so.
That's awesome.
At the beginning of the scene, you see me. I'm in bed, and I'm Robin in bed. You can see the smile. And if you look really closely at the covers, there's a little bit of action under the covers. Yeah. Barely discernible.
Yeah.
We cut it.
Okay.
We
that's got to be in the DVD extras. Yeah, right?
Yeah, the DVD XX extras. No, we're not going to put that in. But I did talk about it because it was a scene that I thought would work. But you shoot a lot of footage. And, you know, the scenes that didn't work great was when I was going back and forth with him without the makeup. Because I don't look enough like Robin to pull it off, to go back and forth. There was a little bit of that.
Yep.
That scene didn't work.
It didn't work.
There was one scene where I'm like on the phone and then he grabs it from me and it's Robin. And that kind of works.
Yep.
But I cut that scene because the argument didn't really fly, although it was a funny idea.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
My hands off my, I mean, it's.
But like you said, but like I said earlier, that's what comedy's all about. It's taking chances. So you took the chance, you put it on film, and afterwards you looked at it and said, you know what, this isn't going to work.
But
it's a funny scene. I like it, but it doesn't work for the flow of the movie.
It was a funny idea,
right?
But I didn't do it well. And you can't be in love with your own work. You have to be the host. It didn't work.
Right.
You have to go, okay, I wasn't good in this scene. Mm-hmm. And I'm the director and the editor. And Roger, you go in the other room while we cut it out of the film.
Yeah, right, right.
No pee-pee in this film, no. But there was other stuff. What really, this started out as a totally different movie about a character named Oliver. And at some point, my friend pinned me down and said, dude, this is about you.
It's you.
It's a documentary.
Right.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah.
So we did. I changed it, everything. And then we had COVID, so we had to shut it down anyway, the production.
Right. But it probably gave you more time to edit and rewrite and stuff like that, right?
It did. It was grievous, though. I mean, there's nothing good about COVID. But it did offer that.
No, but definitely. And now, if people want to support the film,
yes,
obviously Rotten Tomatoes, they can write a review. But website, as far as the, you know, GoFundMe's type of support.
Yeah, there's a GoFundMe. If you go on my Roger Kabler site, it's just ROGERK. There it is. ROGERKAB. If you go on my Facebook page, you'll see a GoFundMe link if you want to send in a few bucks.
Mm-hmm.
Because
I'll include a link to
put
that
in the show notes.
It'd be great.
Yeah.
And Rotten Tomatoes for sure, because people are starting to sniff around it. And we're going to be doing premieres in L.A. and San Francisco in the summer. And we just started to say, okay, people are starting to sniff around. We've got to put this out as soon as possible.
Yeah.
Because we've shown it. We've done some screenings.
Right.
But because I didn't have any marketing, it kind of fell flat. Mm-hmm. And I promised myself I would give it one more shot. And we got a hold of this guy who's a film rep who did The Blair Witch.
Yeah.
We got that on streaming, and he's really bright.
Mm-hmm.
And he got this. We got his attention. He said, you really have something here.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, oh my God, I'm just like this schleppy little Jew who lives in the woods. How am I going to produce now and market? And it's like, by talking to you guys and saying, here's the deal. I, you know, in all humility, I had no idea that people were going to pay any attention to this thing.
Right.
So, okay.
Well, listen.
No, but we'll definitely spread the word as much as we can, man, because I absolutely love
it. Thank you.
And, you know, it definitely, like I said, it reached me on a deeper level when
you
I
know
watched
it. What's strange, guys, and I, you know, and I'm saying this in all humility. Yeah, right. I'm not getting a big head, I hope. is that people use that word a lot with this film. They love it. Like, mm-hmm. You can really, it's a strange word to use for a film.
No, but
people,
I told you.
And then people saying they love, and I'm like, well, they love the film. I mean, nobody said they like it.
Right.
Nobody said they hate it. They just, people are, there's 100,000 people you never hear from at all.
Right. But I told you, just on the few reviews that I've read on Rotten Tomatoes, everyone is saying it hits them on such an emotional level.
Because there's a sincerity to it, Roger. That's what it is.
It's not Hollywood. It's rough.
There's a sincerity to it that really, you know, just kind of hits you personally when you're watching it. It's not just a normal Hollywood movie. It's not, you know, there's a certain honesty and sincerity to it that really hits home.
Well, Scott, do you think if I'd taken it to Hollywood and done it in the system that they have, do you think it would have worked, or would it have been the same?
They might have, you know, made it to, you know, DreamWorks in Hollywood, and they might have taken some of that out of it, you know, some of the honesty out of it.
It needs to be raw. I think, and they would have gotten a Jim Carrey or Jimmy Fallon could have probably done it. I would have sold it.
That's what I mean. It might not have had that same authenticity.
But it wouldn't have the authenticity and the feeling because you have been such a big fan of Robin.
Yeah, man.
You know what I mean? For so long.
If they take your touch off of it, it's not going to have the same feeling to it.
But you know, it is a very small bathtub independent. I mean,
you know what, you've mentioned it several times, Blair Witch, the original Blair Witch was a very small independent.
That's what scares me. I got the Blair Witch guy.
There's been other small independents that have made it big.
But making it big is a trap. That's what
I don't want to say this to be big.
You made this it was a piece of you.
I don't want to say make it big meaning big money. I want to say make it big meaning a lot of people see this.
Perfect. That's really it, man. Perfect. Just to be able to connect with that many
people
and to go a little bigger. And, you know, it's scary, but it's also what I think Robin wanted. Because when I said, Robin, what do you think of the film after a certain point? Of the making of it, he goes, well, you know, I kind of wanted it to be a little bigger. And I said, I know. And that second cut, he saw, and I said, well, how do you feel about it now? And he's like, it's not great, you know, but there are moments of greatness. Mm-hmm. And I got that from Robin, which is sort of a mixed review. And the last time I asked him about it, I said, how about now? And he goes, he just said, thank you. That's all I got.
Yeah, but that means something.
Well, it means
just said thank you.
I mean, you know, nice try.
No.
It means
thank you. I'm happy with it.
But he was also a guy that, you know, like, look at a Good Will Hunting.
Yeah.
You know, Ben Affleck and, you know, those guys have said several times that he cut his price down to bare minimum just to help them get that movie made.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he was a person that if something was important, something was good, he wanted to help them get it made. It wasn't about the money. It wasn't about the big Hollywood machine. It was about getting something out there. That was important to him. And he would help a lot of people do that, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, so I think there's so many layers to this.
Yeah.
You know.
You're right. And I sit and watch the movie in a theater with people. And I cry because we're having a shared experience. And I made the movie for me. I made it so I could have a cathartic experience.
And that's all that matters.
What happened. Well, but I mean, I'm one of the people to see it too. And there's some guy sitting next to me watching me cry.
But if you made it with that type of sincerity and honesty, other people will see it and will feel that same way.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, but that's why I said, when I say you want to make it big, I don't mean make money. I mean,
I know.
Want more people to see
share it with as many people as
because it is
possible.
A love letter to Robin.
Right.
It is. But every, you know, I put so much into this in the last 5 years, and I've put including money into it. So, yeah, it would be nice if I got a little bit of a reward so I could relax and not have to work so hard in these paintings and these shows. And, you know, that's part of it.
Of course.
I did want to tell you guys one thing that you don't know. This is a secret behind the scenes thing.
Ooh.
I wrote a scene in the movie that I eventually cut too, because it was too much. Because the day I performed it in my little studio after I wrote it, I couldn't take it. At the end of the movie, I'm in the dressing room. You guys have seen the movie. I'm in the dressing room after this performance, and there's a knock on the door. And this scene, it's not the way it turned out in the movie. It's Robin's three kids, his three grown kids are coming backstage. They've seen the show. And I just look at them and I say, I don't know what to say. And the tears just started coming out of my eyes because there they are.
Wow.
And Zelda or the youngest, Cody, says, no, it was Zelda. She says, we saw you in an interview say that our dad experiences things through you. Is that true? It's almost like putting me on the stand. And I said, yes,
right.
It is when it's strong. And this is very strong, you know, and I could absolutely feel the impact of that on an audience and on them because they have finally got to, and Jim Carrey actually had a scene like this in real life with Andy's.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know,
oh.
And I saw that in the documentary, but this was my experience with the fantasy of them meeting them after the show. And she says, it's really good. And I cut it because I thought they might object and I was too strong.
Understandable.
Heartbreaking. Yeah. But I used something else, which actually worked. But what you see in the movie is the beginning of that scene when you hear the knock on the door. Mm-hmm. And whether or not they're actually there or I just fantasize it would have been the option in the film. You don't actually see them, but you know it's them. You hear their voices. And you imagine what I said, which is I imagine your kids in the audience, that you guys are in the audience. I do every show as if you're in the audience for you. I put this show out, everything that I have for you. And that's the heart of the film.
Yep.
And I also mentioned his wife, you know. Mm-hmm. So I couldn't use the scene because I couldn't even get through it when I rehearsed. I couldn't even get through it. And it starts to look like acting. It starts to feel like it's too much.
Yeah. Forced.
And so we don't want that, and it's emotional enough to just observe what's happening.
What happened?
But I wanted to share that with you guys because you've taken an interest, and I really am grateful that you have.
No, that's
I hope
they
do see the movie. I hope they get something out of it. You know,
I hope they see the movie. Absolutely,
I do.
Because
I do
again, everything you're doing is in good taste, and it is truly a love letter to Robin.
It is,
you know.
Yeah, it's all done with such love and respect.
Right.
Well, the tough part, I think, in the movie is when, and it was done much differently than it happened. When I experienced his death, I had to show it in a poetic way in the movie with fun lighting and eerie, you know, effects. And but the way it was in real life was just horrible. I just cried on my girlfriend's shoulder as Robin for 5 minutes.
Right.
Yep.
Watching myself spiral down into a hole and. I couldn't show that in the film. There's no artistry to it.
Right.
Blubbering.
Yeah.
So anyway, guys, that's all I got. I mean, that's the movie. But there's some fun shit in it too. I mean, it's
right. Like you said, there's some comic relief in it so that people don't walk away just feeling heavy. They feel they feel love.
No, and there's plenty of clips from the actual show.
Right.
Yeah. You get to be on stage as Robin doing whatever crazy shit.
Oh, no, they'll laugh at the Rotten Gun Club. They'll definitely laugh at that part. That's hilarious.
In my hometown. That was my was there.
That was freaking hilarious.
I'm glad you liked it because the sound was horrible. I had to
And I get that because we as comedians
we've done shows
we've recorded
with
our
sets
sounds. And they're shitty. You know why is it whenever you record a set that the set goes great the sound is shitty, but when I record a set where it doesn't go well, the sound is perfect.
Sound is great.
The sound is excellent.
You can hear every silence
every
where there
time.
Should have been laughs.
But,
yeah,
you know, no. Right. I thank you for sharing yourself and that journey with us and the rest
Again.
Of the world. Man,
yeah,
that was
an ace. You guys,
and as we said,
it was great, and we'll definitely put the links to you know, you and the movie and everything,
and the GoFundMe. So if there's you know, for our audience, go click on the link, download the movie, watch it.
You can't download the movie.
Oh, you can't download it.
Let me just tell you
anymore.
What we're doing here.
Okay,
because the rep said stop. Don't send the movie out until it's released I can send out free movies to anybody who donates, whether okay. it's a DVD or yep. Or a link.
Or a but link to a stream.
So we release in the fall. But everybody that donates will get a free link okay. and can watch it in their homes and keep it. But no, some of you guys, like you guys have seen the film. Some yeah. of my friends have seen it. We've screened it. But this is a whole marketing thing.
Right, and right. And that makes sense.
Yeah, because somebody sense. Will start. It'll end up on YouTube without my permission. But, and I,
right, know. Right.
But I encourage everyone. We will put the GoFundMe in the link, you know, link in the show notes.
If you're
go if, on, if you can even, you know, anything that you can give to help Roger get this thing off the ground, because let's face it, you know, the thing that sucks about Hollywood is you could go to Hollywood with your script and they could fuck around with it and totally change it and totally change what your vision is. Or yeah. you can make it yourself, but you still need money to get it to Hollywood.
Right. So, and that means, you know, hiring the rep, hiring the press agent.
Right.
Right.
Renting the theater where you're going to premiere.
To premiere it. Right.
Premiere it. And also this social media guru who's brilliant is expensive. Yes.
But it, yeah, they cost money, right?
You can make a movie, but if you don't have marketing,
right?
You got nothing. Right. Nobody's going to see it. So that's exactly. the decision. So, I promised Robin we would do this.
If you love Robin Williams, help support this. Let it get out there so yeah. that
Robin Williams on
multiple.
Yes, I know.
Yes. Yeah, Jerry Lewis is supporting
Hello,
Robin Williams.
Lady, support Robin
Please
Williams.
Give $20, $40, anything, lady.
Hello.
Yeah, Jerry. Oh, we got Robin Williams over here, Jerry.
Muscular catastrophe.
Forget muscular dystrophy, Jerry. Yeah, we have Robin Williams.
Who is that?
Trying to do a bad Dean Martin.
Oh my God.
Really bad Dean Martin.
Oh, if I say
baby.
Oh, baby.
I'm trying to do a bad
I'm
Dean Martin.
I'm not drunk. I'm speaking in cursive, baby.
That's great.
The moon hits your eye like a big piece of pie. That's amore.
That's amore.
Yes. Hello.
Hello.
No, listen, Roger, we can't thank you enough for coming back on. We loved having you on last year.
Sorry I had no voice.
No, that's fine.
No. I love this project. I want to support it 110%.
Absolutely.
I feel you, brothers. I really, both of you guys, I feel the support. I feel the love. The lines are lighting up. I mean,
yes. I how much have we raised?
How much have we raised?
No. We love it. We love it. We can't thank you enough. We will put all the information in the show notes. And listen, once this thing is premiered, you got to come back on, talk to us about what the premiere was like and stuff like that. So,
I will. I'm going to try to survive all of this. You guys, I mean, this is...
You'll make it. You'll make it.
You will. The best podcast I've been on, and I'm not just saying that. I feel really comfortable with you.
No, I appreciate that, Roger.
Both of you are, like, funnier
than most
people that do this. And, you know, keep drinking that stuff, because it's working.
It works. Exactly.
It's a magic elixir.
Listen, booze works. We know.
Booze works. Have you tried alcohol? Yes. Hokey
poke. Hokey poke. Okay, boss.
Thank you, Roger.
Thanks, man. We appreciate it. Have a great night. We'll talk to you soon. All right. And that was Roger Kabler. Well, I fucking love that guy. I really, really do. And when I say that he was a hero of mine when we first started, he really, really was.
You've talked about him several times.
Just
a genuine human being, just a brilliantly funny guy, and... Just, I can't. You know, when we had him on last time, I connected with him on such a deep level because of the love of Robin Williams, and I love that guy.
Yeah.
I absolutely love that guy.
And I really, really implore the audience, if you are a fan of Robin Williams, please help support this project because...
Support an independent artist.
It's an independent artist, right? Exactly. It's just like any of us, just trying to get our story out. And his story is so unique because it's his story, but Robin Williams' story. And I love the fact that the whole concept is... If Robin could come back for one more show,
it's so heartfelt. It's so deep. I can't say enough about it. So,
yeah.
Thank you so much for tuning in. You know, you guys, and thank you for the support. Thank you so much for joining us this week. We hope you enjoyed this week's episode. If you really want to help out the podcast, one great way to do that is to go wherever you download your episode and give us that 5-star written review.
Yeah, that really helps us with the analytics and the algorithms. Helps more people find us. And speaking of more people finding us, tell a friend about us. If you enjoy the show and you've got friends that enjoy comedy podcasts or podcasts in general, please let them know about Behind the Funny.
Of course, we will talk to you
next week.